The Need and Importance of Voice Culture. January 15, 1901. Date typed. In all our schools, great attention should be paid to voice culture. Good readers are rare. Reading classes should be formed in which each student is given a thorough drill in pronunciation and emphasis. This is necessary if, in the future, the students are successful in communicating to others that which they have learned. The student who leaves school unable to read and speak correctly is not half prepared for a position in the service of God. Students should be taught to read and speak in an acceptable manner, pronouncing their words clearly and distinctly, and giving proper emphasis and expression to the thoughts. They should be taught how to control and modulate the voice, letting it rise and fall at the proper times. No tame, expressionless reading should be permitted. Vocal culture should be made one of the most important branches of education in our schools. In order for this to be done, the teachers must themselves understand the art of reading and speaking. Those who help to prepare students for God's great work should be men and women who understand and appreciate the value of voice culture, who have studied this themselves and know how to instruct others. If teachers are defective in this respect, their work is of little value compared with what it would be if they knew how to read and speak aright. Let this matter be no longer neglected by the teachers in our schools. Let them teach the students how to read in clear, full tones, and how to give the proper emphasis and expression to the thoughts. And let the students themselves strive perseveringly to become good readers. In every part of the student's life, voice culture is of the greatest consequence. The intellect is of double value when there is joined with it the power to use the voice as it should be used. We may have knowledge, but unless we know how to use the voice correctly, our work will be a failure. Unless we can clothe our ideas in appropriate language, of what avail is our education? All the knowledge we may gain will be of little advantage to us unless we cultivate the talent of speech, that the door of the lips may open to allow ideas to go forth to bless others. Knowledge is a wonderful power when combined with the ability to speak wise, helpful words, and to speak them in a way that will command attention. We are bound by all holy motives to do what is in our power to meet the necessities for this time. Let us cultivate the talent of speech so that it will be a power in winning souls to Christ. Students who expect to become workers in the cause of God should be trained to speak in a clear, straightforward manner, else they will be shorn of half their influence for good. The ability to speak plainly and clearly, in full, round tones, is invaluable in any line of work. This qualification is indispensable in those who desire to become ministers, evangelists, Bible workers, or canvassers. Those who are planning to enter these lines of work should be taught to use the voice in such a way that when they speak to people about the truth, a decided impression for good will be made. The truth must not be marred by being communicated through defective channels. The canvasser who can speak clearly and distinctly about the merits of the book he wishes to sell will find that this is a great help to him in selling the book. He may have an opportunity to read a chapter of the book, and by the music of his voice and the emphasis placed on the words, he can make the scene presented stand out as clearly before the mind of the listener as though it could in reality be seen. The one who gives Bible readings should be able to read with a soft, musical cadence which will charm the hearers. Ministers of the gospel should know how to speak with power and expression, making the words of eternal life so expressive and impressive that the hearers cannot help but feel their weight. I am pained as I hear the defective voices of many of our ministers. Such ministers rob God of the glory he might have if they had trained themselves to speak the word with power. To be able to speak correctly is the life and health of a speaker. In speaking, the strain of the work should not be put upon the throat and lungs. The abdominal muscles are to do the heaviest share of the labor, the throat being used as the channel. Many have died who might have lived had they in the schoolroom been taught that the voice is a precious talent and must be used with the greatest care. No man should consider himself qualified to enter the ministry until by persevering effort he has overcome every defect in his utterance. If he attempts to speak to the people without knowing how to use the talent of speech, half his influence is lost, for he has little power to hold the attention of a congregation. Those who are engaged in mechanical lines of work will find it greatly to their advantage to cultivate the talent of speech. Thus they can make a success of their work, when, did they neglect to speak correctly, they would make a failure. Those who are planning to engage in business lines need to learn how to control the voice, so that when they go forth into their work, they will not, if something goes wrong, speak in tones that will stir the worst passions of the human heart. Too often, the speaker and the one spoken to speak sharply and harshly. Sharp, dictatorial words, uttered in hard, rasping tones, have separated friends and resulted in the loss of souls. Instruction in vocal culture should be given in the home circle. Parents should teach their children to speak so plainly that those who are listening can understand every word that is said. They should teach them to read the Bible in a way that will honor God. And let not those who kneel round the family altar put their faces in their hands when they address God. Parents, train yourselves to speak in a way that will be a blessing to your children. Women need to be educated in this respect. There are many busy mothers who have never had time to go back and pick up the dropped stitches, but even these, if they will, can cultivate the talent of speech and can teach their children to read and speak correctly. Let working men and working women remember that it is never too late for them to improve. God calls upon parents to bring all the perfection possible into the home circle. In the social meeting, there is a special need of clear, distinct utterance that all may hear and be benefited by the testimonies born. Difficulties are removed, and help is given as God's people relate their experiences in social meeting. But too often the testimonies are born with faulty, indistinct utterance, and it is impossible to gain a correct idea of what is said. The blessing is lost through a failure to use rightly the talent of speech. We have given altogether too little attention to this subject. Let those who speak and those who pray pronounce their words properly and speak in plain, distinct, even tones. Prayer, if properly offered, is a power for good. It is one of the means used by the Lord to communicate the precious treasures of truth to the people. But prayer is not what it should be because of the defective voices of those who utter it. Satan rejoices when the prayers offered to God are almost inaudible. Church members should be taught to speak and pray in a way that will properly represent the great truths they possess. Let the testimonies born and the prayers offered be clear and distinct. Then the social meeting will be a place where God will be glorified. Let all make the most of the talent of speech, remembering that the voice has been given to them by God to be improved and used in His service. Let there be a reformation among us in regard to the way in which we use this talent. Let all take hold of this matter in earnest. God calls for a higher, more perfect ministry. He is dishonored by the imperfect service of the one who, by painstaking effort, could be an acceptable mouthpiece for Him. The truth is too often marred by the channel through which it passes. The Lord calls upon all who are connected with His service to give proper attention to the cultivation of the voice, that they may utter acceptably the great and solemn truths He has entrusted to them. He calls upon them not to attempt to hold forth the word of life to others unless they can do this work in a way that will honor Him. Let them not mar the truth by defective utterance. Let not those who have neglected to cultivate the talent of speech suppose that they are qualified to minister, for they have yet to obtain the power to communicate. Let those who in the past have not felt it their duty to try to improve the voice Begin this work now, before any more time passes away. When you speak, let every word be full and well-rounded, every sentence clear and distinct, down to the very last word. Many, as they approach the end of the sentence, drop the voice, speaking so indistinctly, with such weakness of utterance, that the force of what they say is destroyed. Words that are worth speaking at all are worthy of being spoken in a clear, distinct voice, with emphasis and expression. But never search for words that will give the impression that you are learned. The greater your simplicity, the better will your words be understood. Has God placed in your hearts, young men and young women, a desire to do service for Him? Then by all means, cultivate the voice to the utmost of your ability, so that you can make plain to others the precious truth. Do not fall into the habit of praying so indistinctly and in such a low tone that your prayers need an interpreter. Pray simply, but clearly and distinctly. To let the voice sink so low that it cannot be heard is no evidence of humility.
Learn how to offer up your intercessions in an acceptable manner. First, consider your great need, and do not think it necessary to tell God a long list of things about yourself, as though He did not know. Come right to the point. In a voice of urgent entreaty, make known your great need. Be as earnest as a child is when asking its parents for something it very much desires. Mingle joyous thanksgiving with your requests. Thank the Lord for His great love and mercy toward His redeemed by the great sacrifice of the only begotten Son of God. Ask Him to help you to be His instrument in saving souls. Ask for wisdom and grace to know how to approach your fellow men. And let your heart always be filled with sincere gratitude for God's great gift, even the gift of His only begotten Son. Has not God given His Son to die for you? And with this gift, has He not given all heaven? Contemplate this subject, and your heart will burn within you as you think of the infinite sacrifice made in your behalf. Oh, put your heart, all broken and subdued, into your petitions. Do not, when you approach your heavenly Father, to plead for the salvation of your own soul and the salvation of those around you, offer up a petition that is as prosy as a chapter of an uninteresting book. All that is done in the service of God should be done with wholeheartedness. Let ministers and teachers pray with hearts overflowing with love for God. The people become weary of listening to prayers that are as dry, as destitute of moisture, as the hills of Gilboa were destitute of dew and rain. It is hard to imagine anything more icy, more devoid of fervor, than many of the prayers offered by ministers whose petitions ought to be warm with the fire of God's love. Tame, spiritless prayers are a sign of a Christless heart. He whose heart is softened and subdued by the love of God will pray with fervency and zeal. But let no one try to make eloquent prayers. Such prayers God does not acknowledge. Prayer is an expression of the needs of the soul. Our prayers should never be set and formal, but full of tenderness and love, yearning for a deeper, broader realization of the Savior's matchless love. We should cry to God for more wisdom. If there was ever need for soul-stirring prayers and discourses, it is now. The end of all things is at hand. Those who pray now should pray with sincerity and under the moving of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that we could see, as we should, the necessity of seeking the Lord with all the heart. Then we should find Him. Our hearts need to be cleansed from all selfishness. So much of this great evil is cherished that the Lord cannot find room to enter. May the Lord teach His people how to pray. Let the teachers in our schools and the ministers in our churches learn daily in the school of Christ. Then they will pray with earnestness and fervor, and their prayers will be heard and answered, even as were the prayers of Daniel. Then the word will be proclaimed with power. Let us learn how to pray in the Spirit. Let there be no more formal prayers. Let us learn how to love God with heart and soul and mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Let us read and practice the instruction contained in the 58th chapter of Isaiah. Then we shall offer prayers which will bear the evidence of God's indicting, and such prayers will be heard and answering. Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57, verse 15. To those who are planning to enter God's work as ministers, I would say, strive with determination to be perfect in speech. Ask God to help you to accomplish this great object. When in the congregation you offer prayer, remember that you are addressing God, and that He desires you to speak so that all who are present can hear and can blend their supplications with yours. A prayer uttered so hurriedly that the words are jumbled together does the hearers no good and is no honor to God. Let ministers and all who offer public prayer learn to pray in such a way that God will be glorified and the hearers will be blessed. Let them speak slowly and distinctly and in tones loud enough to be heard by all, so that the people may unite in saying, Amen.